Right now, it is time to bring in the Frick and Frack of Nick and Knack, Tim Luke and Greg Schramm. And, of course, they are the hosts of Appraise This. And you can find them, by the way, on the web, tqag.com. But you can also find them here live on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Good morning, Marshall.
So here we are, sitting here at 7:38 on Tuesday, January the 19th. Hard to believe we're almost in the middle of January already. Amazing.
I know. It is. It's going to be February. I mean, this month has just flown by.
And after February is March. And I always think of March as the gateway to spring, even though we seem to get snowstorms in March. But, you know, at least when you're in February, you know, February is a shorter month. You can get out of it much quicker.
Correct.
All right. Now, I've been left instructions here. The boss has left me instructions. And so I've got to bring this up to you guys, all right? It's a great story, okay. Actually. It's an international story, and it is on the pieces of fine art, which were worth millions and millions of dollars, were all rushed out of the UK ahead of the Brexit cutoff. And I guess there's issues that go with the future import duties that collectors and stuff like that. Is this something that you guys were aware of?
I was not, but you know, it's a question that we had pondered in the past of what's going to happen with how is this going to affect import and export for auctions. So, I mean, it's peripherally we were kind of aware that something might happen, but I wasn't sure how it was going to fall out.
Well, the way it was before Brexit, like everything else, art could move freely between the EU and UK with no restrictions, right, and without tax and customs. That's not the case anymore, the value of the art. And I guess the harder you make to do something, the harder it is to get it accomplished, really.
Right. And go ahead, Greg.
No, I'm just chuckling because that just seems like this entire past year the harder.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, there also has been, here in the United States, there's also been a couple of zones. There's a zone that is in Manhattan, and there's also, I believe, a zone that is in Dallas, that if it flies in, it's in a zone not considered to be, I mean, it can be viewed, it can be bought and sold, and it's a, and I have to look into this, I'm not familiar, but it gives it a tax advantage because it's almost like a tax-free zone because it's not part of, or it is a trading zone that has been designated. And I have to look into this a little more, but I know of these trading zones because there is one in Manhattan, and I think there is one that is in Dallas, and there may be one in LA. And they may need to do that in the UK or change things. Whenever we have these sort of social changes, there will be an up and down that this fluctuation. But it also, it goes into the cost of doing business, basically. So even buyers are going to be checking about, well, what are the additional VAT taxes, value added, you know, the VAT taxes or any other taxes that would be added in a purchase. So that all has to be taken into consideration, especially when somebody is looking at buying something very expensive. Then they have to factor in the buyer's premium and any other VAT taxes and then the shipping and all of that that goes into it and the insurance.
Now, we're going to have the inauguration of Joe Biden coming up tomorrow. And with that, I don't know, and you can, you know, every year I used to go to Cooperstown for the Hall of Fame ceremonies, and I would collect these pins, and the pins, if you had a lot of them, became valuable, and they did. I collected over 10 or 12 years. I had I think it was 14 pins from the different years, and I ended up selling them when I lost my interest in it for a good sum of money. Inaugurations. Now, do inauguration ceremonies normally come up with memorabilia, art, collectibles from the inauguration parties, the ceremonies or whatever? Is that something that used to develop every 4 years? And if so, will this year make it any different?
This is kind of, well, boy, that is the $64,000 question right there. Not unlike the election memorabilia, inaugural memorabilia, there is also a category for that. And it's primarily, it seems to be like invitations, or there have been letters that were written between people that have come up. But yes, that I would still lump that into election memorabilia, even though it's, I guess it would be a subcategory in a way. But yes, every once in a while you'll see invitations come up for sale from the presidential, you know, like from the Reagan inaugural. We still see JFK invitations popping up for sale every now and then. I think this particular inaugural tomorrow, I think, is going to be obviously different. And I think just because of the historic context of everything that's happened, I do think that that's probably going to be something, as I hate to say this, as a premium. There's more than likely going to be a premium, and these things are probably going to be a lot more desirable than, let's say, the inaugural invitation to the Reagan inaugural, or the JFK inaugural, or the Gerald Ford inaugural, or, you know, anything that where there was anything historic that had happened. But this is like way beyond the pale, you have to admit. So it's going to be interesting to see the future of any of the election memorabilia that from this election cycle. But as we have touched on in the past, there have been so, it wasn't like the history of these things where there wasn't as much mass production as there is today. I mean, now there's tons and tons and tons of electoral memorabilia, but something as specific as this particular inaugural, because of its historic significance, I do think it's going to set them apart somewhat.
You know, what brings me that question is, last Friday I got my mail. I don't normally pick up my mail every day because I don't normally get that much mail. I'm not that popular. But in my mailbox was a letter from the Presidential Inaugural Committee, and I opened it up, and it was an invitation to the inauguration of Joseph Biden Jr. and Kamala Devi Harris. Now, I opened it up and I said, wow, I got an... Well, what it was a virtual, invitation to one of the virtual parties. When I scanned the code on it, of course, it was like $275 if I wanted to join in virtually, right, at the cheapest party. And the most expensive one was thousands of dollars. So, I felt really great for a second, but then I said, well, they're just trying to make money to pay off, so this is no real big thing. That's what brought it to my mind, because I guess when Barack Obama served his first term, that's probably one of the ultimate collectible things like that, if you've got something like that. But this year, with all that's gone on in Washington and everything, you would figure that it's a horse of a different color. You know, it's just totally different.
Well, I think all of the electronic stuff that's happened, and this goes along with not just something like this event where they send out these electronic invitations, which means there are millions and millions and millions and millions of them out there. But we had touched on this also in the past, where how do the things that are electronic, how do they become collectible? How do they become desirable? How do you collect them? So yeah. This is kind of new territory. Well, I don't really think it's been proven how that's going to work and how it's going to hold up in the future, because none of this stuff has ever come up for sale. It's kind of, to me, like the Bitcoin. Like it was out there and it was like hot for a while, and now I guess you don't, you still yeah. probably hear about it, but we don't, because that's like way out of our league there. But electronic memorabilia, I don't know what's going to happen.
No, that's done really well. The, Heritage just had a big sale, record-breaking prices of those games, you know, like Donkey Kong and I forget the one. I think it was
And your Super personal Mario favorite? Brothers. Your well, personal Ms. favorite?
Ms. Pac-Man as well. But it's the ones for the consoles. And those, you know, that software, that, I mean, you can actually touch the case, but you can't touch the game. You can't play the game. That is virtual. And that's the virtual or the intangible side of personal property. And those things are selling well because they have been graded, they have been held, and we've talked about it in the past. So we are moving into a whole different realm because these things, being graded, they're there, finding them in great condition. The same value characteristics apply to what makes something valuable is the who owned it, where did it come from, is it a, you know, the story behind it, the condition, what is it, one of just a small number of items. So, you know, that will continue. I mean, and we see that, but it is new territory because it is now more virtual invites and more virtual. So what is the value, or what, you know, like Marshall's invite, there were thousands of them that were sent out. So is that really going to be something that's desirable in the future too? And that's the other thing.
I think that if it was an actual invitation to an event that was canceled, okay, let's say the event was sent out to me, it was an actual invitation to the to actually one of the parties to go to the party instead of just and raise funds that way instead of just doing it virtually, maybe because this year was so crazy, actually having an invitation to an event that was canceled might be worth something in the future, but then again, it might not.
Correct. And that's where history has to really show what the significance of that party being canceled. What was the significance and why?
Well, I think what's going to end up happening is there's always some brilliant marketing person or salesperson who will come up with a strategy on how to make this work best for them to make money. So it's not as though it's... Yeah, it's not as though it's going to be something that's going to be here today and gone tomorrow. Somebody's going to figure out a way to make this happen at some point. But you know, you bring up an interesting point, Marshall, about the concrete, you know, the hard invitation. You know, there is something to be said. It's the difference between getting a virtual birthday card and going to your mailbox and actually getting something. Yeah. A card in your hand that was handled by somebody and might have even been signed by somebody with their own signature. So that I don't think will change. And I think my personal feeling is it will only increase the value of that type of a collectible as opposed to something that is just the mass, been mailed out to the masses.
Right,
because when they do these lists, air quotes, the old days, where they actually had a press secretary or a committee secretary for the inaugural sit down and pin by hand all of these invitations, that was something. And those are the things that still do sell, and people are interested in them. I'm not so sure that in 15 or 20 years anybody's going to care about having opening up their digital file bank somewhere and having, oh, well, let me look at this digital invitation that was sent out to the entire world. So I think there's going to be a difference between the two, and I don't think that the old-fashioned way is going to go away. And I'm thinking that those things are probably going to be more desirable than something like the invitation that you got to give money. But my invitation must have got lost in the Ethernet somewhere because we didn't get one.
I have to laugh because when I opened up the invitation, when I got the invitation, I thought to myself, okay, I have been donating to Bernie Sanders' campaign since 2015, every month, $27 a month. And the only time I donated to Joe Biden's campaign was when Bernie Sanders dropped out, and then I switched my $27 over to Joe Biden. So I'm thinking to myself, how did I get on a list when I'm a known Bernie Sanders supporter, when I'm a known progressive? Why would they think that I would actually come up with the thousands of dollars to attend a virtual event? Or even go to, if it wasn't virtual. So I don't know how I got on the list to get it, but it's kind of cool when you open it up and you actually see it.
Sure. No, very well, you know, that there, it is, it would be more exciting if it was actually from the office of, you know, rather than just like the Democratic Party or, I mean, there's there again, I think you might be getting into different tiers of collectability, which we've dealt with in the past as well. But
the source,
I don't think it's worth anything. I didn't think, but I think it was just kind of interesting that for some reason I got it. And then when I posted it on the web, all my friends who were Democrats were, well, how come you got one? You didn't even support Biden. For
so I know. I feel slighted here. I mean, come on.
So I don't, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. So I'm going to save it just for the hell of it and say.
So are you gloating? Is that what you're saying? You're gloating? You got one and we didn't?
No, I'm mentioning is the real reason I mentioned it is I'm such a big Bernie Sanders supporter. If anybody ever went to my Facebook page or anything like that, somebody from the Democratic National Committee or the Inaugural Committee would look at this and say, well, here's a guy who really liked Bernie Sanders. We're not going to send him one.
Well, there's an old – you've heard the old adage, any port in the storm.
There you go. Any old donor in the storm, you're absolutely right. All right, guys, I'll check with you guys next week.
Great.
Hey,
have a
great
wonderful week,
Marshall. Take care. Tim, Luke, and Greg Schraub, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This here on Robin Hood Radio.